Matthew chapter 28, beginning in verse number 1. "In the end of the Sabbath, as it began to dawn towards the first day of the week, came Mary Magdalene and the other Mary to see the sepulchre. And behold, there was a great earthquake, for the angel of the Lord descended from heaven and came and rolled back the stone from the door and sat upon it. His countenance was like lightning and his raiment white as snow. And for fear of him, the keepers did shake and became as dead men. And the angel answered and said unto the women, Fear not ye, for I know that ye seek Jesus, which was crucified. He is not here, for he is risen, as he said. Come see the place where the Lord lay, and go quickly and tell his disciples that he is risen from the dead. And behold, he goeth before you into Galilee. There shall ye see him. Lo, I have told you. And they departed quickly from the sepulchre with fear and great joy, and did run to bring his disciples word. And as they went to tell his disciples, behold, Jesus met them, saying, All hail. And they came and held him by the feet and worshipped him. Then said Jesus unto them, Be not afraid. Go tell my brethren that they go into Galilee, and there shall they see me. And now when they were going, behold, some of the watch came into the city and showed unto the chief priests all the things that were done. And when they were assembled with the elders and had taken counsel, they gave large money unto the soldiers, saying, Say ye, his disciples came by night and stole him away while he slept. And if this come to the governor, we will persuade him and secure you. So they took money and did as they were taught. And this saying is commonly reported among the Jews until this day." Heavenly Father, we want to thank you for this story, Lord. It gives us hope. Lord, this is the first fruits of the resurrection. Lord, this allows us to not only know that Jesus, by coming and dying on the cross, provided us with a payment for our sin, but his resurrection secured for us eternal life. This is the completion of the gospel story. And as we focus, Lord, on it today, I ask, Lord, that you would bless. Please control the message and the service. Help me as I preach, we pray in Jesus' name. Amen. And you may be seated. I'm going to tell the PA room that I'm going to switch over to the lapel mic and use it this morning. So if you guys can take care of that back there. How are we doing? You want to give me some volume? Testing, 1, 2, 3. Testing, 1, 2, 3. There we got it. All right. Praise the Lord. Isn't it amazing, some of the technology? And sometimes it's amazing, sometimes it's just downright irritating, amen? But Matthew chapter number 28, we have an interesting story, a wonderful story. You know, after you spend so many years doing Easter messages, you, I think, sometimes feel pressed to come up with something new, and yet it's just wonderful to read the resurrection story. And I kind of scolded myself a little bit this week. I said, what a shame that I only preach on the resurrection once a year. That's something that probably we ought to be preaching on a regular basis in our Baptist churches. And I know we mention it, of course, but to take an entire message on the resurrection, we tend to do that only on Easter. I want to draw your attention this morning to this angel that we read about in Matthew chapter number 28. Now, the study of angels is an interesting and an imaginative exercise. If you've ever taken the time to study what the Bible says about angels, by the way, if you have a Schofield Bible, who has a Schofield Bible that's handy? Brother Jack, can I borrow your Schofield Bible? There is in the Schofield Bible, I study out of one, and I tend not to preach out of one. Is that a little too loud? Are we okay? Is that okay? Good. All right. I got half of them saying yes and half of them saying no. It all depends on how deaf they are, amen? But if you'll look in Hebrews sometime, and I'm not just going to read this to you, but if you want a nice summary study on the subject of angels, in Schofield's notes, if you have a Schofield Study Bible, on page 1291, in the introduction to Hebrews, there is at the bottom of the page just some study notes. This isn't part of the Bible. It's just helpful study notes. And they give a summary on angels. Now, I won't read all of the scripture references, but just let me read a little bit about what Brother Schofield wrote. And this is a very accurate, very good summary of the study of angels. It says the word angel means messenger. And it's used of God. Yep, there are a few places in the Bible where God is called an angel. Of men, and yes, there's a few places where men are called angels because the word means messenger. When God came to deliver a message, sometimes they would use the word angel. Sometimes when a man was sent to give a message, he would be called an angel. And an order of created spiritual beings whose chief attributes are strength and wisdom. In the Old Testament, the expression, the angel of the Lord, sometimes the angel of God, usually implies the presence of deity in angelic form. Or we would say some pre-incarnate appearance of the Lord Jesus Christ. The word angel is used of men, and it gives some verses there. In Revelation 8, 3 through 5, Christ is evidently meant. Sometimes angel is used of the spirit of man. Though angels are spirits, power is given to them to become visible in the semblance of human form, and we sometimes have that. Matter of fact, we're even cautioned in the book of Hebrews that we should be careful to entertain strangers. Some have entertained angels unawares. The word is always used in the masculine gender, though sex in the human sense is never ascribed to angels. They are exceedingly numerous. Their power is inconceivable. Their place is about the throne of God. Their relation to the believer is that of ministering spirits sent forth to minister for them who shall be heirs of salvation. And this ministry has reference largely to the physical safety and well-being of the believer. That's interesting, by the way. From Hebrews 1:14, Matthew 18:10, and Psalms 91:11, it would seem that this care for the heirs of salvation begins in infancy and continues through life. The angels observe us, a fact that should influence our conduct. They receive departing saints. Man is made a little lower than the angels in an incarnation. And in incarnation, Christ took for a little time this lower place that he might lift the believer into his own sphere above the angels. The angels are to accompany Christ in the second advent. To them will be committed the preparation of the judgment of the nations. The kingdom age is not to be subject to the angels, but to Christ and for those whom he was made a little lower than the angels. An archangel by the name of Michael is mentioned as having a particular relation to Israel and to the resurrections. The only other angel whose name is revealed, Gabriel, was employed in the most distinguished service. And so that gives you a little bit of information about angels. They certainly are a created being, part of what God has made, and are active in ways that are seen, unseen for the most part in our life. Now, having given you that little bit of background, I want to point out to you that here in Matthew chapter 28, an angel, and this is identified by the phrase the angel of the Lord, was sent down for a specific task. Now, I don't know how this angel was chosen, and I'm not sure that I could speak very candidly. I guess I have an imagination, so I can almost see the angels, all of them, kind of crowding close to the throne of God when this task was going to be assigned, because what angel would not want to be the one who was sent down on the resurrection Sunday? And so I don't know what criteria God used or how he selected, but I can tell you this, it was good and it was right. And he selected a particular angel. Now, was this angel Gabriel? The Bible does not give us a name. Was it Michael? I don't know. But he is just identified as the angel of the Lord, and he was sent down. Now, I want you to look at the scriptures and see what the assignment was that the Lord sent him, and a little bit about his appearance. We see here in verse number 2, and then we'll reference verse 3 and 4. I can see Jesus saying, come here, and I've got a specific assignment for you. I want you to descend from heaven, which wasn't that unusual to be sent on a task. But this time, I don't want you to go in camouflage. I want you to be able to be seen. And and the angel says, that's exciting. Most of the time, we have to sneak in and sneak out. But you mean I get, yeah, I want you to turn on full wattage. I want you to have an absolute angelic appearance. And so I want you to descend from heaven. Now, as you're descending from heaven, I'm going to accompany your arrival with an earthquake. So I'm just going to kind of reach down and shake the world a little bit. And the angels, oh, wow, cool. And listen, I want you to appear both bright and white, okay? And the Bible says here, his countenance was like lightning, his raiment white as snow. And so I want you to go down in full regale, and I want you to make this appearance. Now, when you get down there, there's some things I want you to do. I've got a specific task. Now, first of all, you see those guys down there that are all surrounding that? Those Roman soldiers, yeah, I want you to go down there, and I want you to scare the bejeebies out of those guys right there. Listen, I want you to scare grown men, armed men, so badly that they're going to faint dead away like a woman, all right? And so the angel's like, oh, great, this is going to be great, all right. I don't mind doing that. And then he said, listen to me, I want you to go down there. You see that stone right there in front of that grave? I want you to roll that thing away. Now that's your assignment. And this angel, like it seems, squaring his shoulders up. Tears coming to his eyes. He says, is the sun coming home? He says, yep, the sun's going to come home. I want you to roll that stone away. By the way, folks, that stone wasn't preventing the resurrection of Jesus Christ. He didn't roll that stone away so Jesus could get out. He rolled that stone away so that everyone could see that he had gotten out. Amen. And so that was the assignment. And so the angel of the Lord came down and did exactly what God had assigned him to do. He carried out this privileged assignment. What an honor. What angel would not want this great honor? Now, I want to focus in. We looked a little bit at his appearance and his assignment, but I want to point your attention this morning to his message. Because before the Father sent him, he said, oh, by the way, there's one more thing. There's some of the disciples, and there's a couple ladies that are going to show up. And I want you to tell them something. And I believe God very specifically gave that angel a message to give to the disciples and to give to these women that day. Let's take a look at what this message was. First of all, and by the way, if you don't mind this morning, I'm going to call this angel the Easter angel. The Easter angel, number one, delivered a message of comfort. The first two words that he says is, fear not. Fear not ye. Now, to me, this is probably the most humorous part of the story of the resurrection of Jesus Christ. Now, imagine this. Here's some ladies, they're heading to the tomb. A supernatural being winds down from heaven, lands in a graveyard, causes an earthquake, flashes like lightning, blinds them with whiteness, causes grizzled warriors to faint, rolls a gravestone away, plops atop it, then looks over at a huddled group of terrified women and says, fear not. The first message that the Easter angel wants to deliver was a message of comfort. On this Easter Sunday, by the way, 2011, there may not be a more needed or comforting message that I could bring the congregation here at Blessed Hope Baptist Church than this thought, fear not. Hey, preacher, I'll be honest with you. This whole thing's got me nervous. The world's going in a direction we wouldn't have ever thought. Things are going on we could hardly even imagine. It just seems like, you know, the economy's getting worse and jobs. Preacher, what about all this? Folks, I can tell you this. Somebody told me this, that over 360 times, one for every day of the year, you find the command or the encouragement, the exhortation to fear not in some form in the Bible. Sometimes it's be not afraid. Sometimes it's not to fear. Sometimes it's fear not. But you know what? You'll find that from Genesis to Revelation, that God constantly comes down and says to his people, don't be afraid. Don't be afraid. Don't be afraid. You say, well, preacher, why in the world, under this circumstances, would he tell them not to be afraid when everything the angel did struck such fear into the heart of these soldiers that they literally fainted? You know why they fainted? You know why they should have been afraid? Because they were on the wrong side. You imagine being one of those unlucky soldiers, and here's the job that's assigned to you on this Easter morning. I want you to go over there, and I want you to secure that tomb, and I want you to keep Jesus in. Well, good luck with that. Good luck with that. Now, the reason they were terrified and should have been terrified is, you know what? They were part of the crowd that wanted to prevent the resurrection of Christ. But you see, the message, fear not, is not a message that God sends to the world. I'm just saying, if you're unsaved, you ought to be afraid. Let me say it again. If you're unsaved, you ought to be afraid. You ought to be afraid of death. You ought to be afraid of eternity. And thank God for a healthy fear. Thank God when the gospel's preached and conviction and concern comes upon the heart of a lost person. Because you know what? That leads to conversion of that lost person if it'll run its course. But let me say to those of us that are saved, the message is different. It's not the same message that the world received. The message that day was for us not to fear. You know why? You say, well, preacher, look at this incredible display of supernatural power. That's why they didn't have to be afraid. You know what that angel was basically saying when he said, fear not, he said this. He was saying to these disciples, these ladies that were followers of Christ, God sent me. And by the way, me and a whole bunch like me, we're on your side. And it's not just me, there's legions more like me. And let me remind you again, we're on your side because you're on God's side. The earthquake, I know that scared you a little bit, but don't worry. It was just to remind the world that your God is a great and powerful God. And by the way, all of God's power is to protect you, not to harm you. Fear not. See those soldiers over there? Don't be afraid of them. I know that you're going to have to face godless governments and tyrants and warriors, but let me just say this. God wanted us to remind you, just one angel sent down, wiped out the entire platoon there. They're helpless and harmless. God wanted me to show you just what the appearance of one angel can do for you. See this massive stone? Listen, ladies, don't be afraid. This wasn't too much for God. Man can put anything he wants to in the path of God's work, but nothing man can do can prevent God from carrying out his will in your life. Listen, mankind can pile up 1,000 stones this size, 10,000 stones this size. Fear not, Christians. If God wants it to happen, it's going to happen. God says that just a mustard seed full of faith can move a mountain. This stone's nothing. And this angel, I think, looked at them and said, I want to teach you one more thing. Death is nothing. Fear not. The grave is nothing. Fear not. God is greater than all of these things. The Easter angel's message is this. Don't worry, children. Don't worry, saints of God. The God who spoke the universe into existence still sits on the throne. He's still in charge. And all His power and all His might is available to His people and His work. So let the world fear God, but never let a Christian fear the world. Fear not. The second message that the Easter angel delivered that day was the message of the gospel. Aren't you glad? Does that surprise you at all? He says, after he says, fear not ye, notice what he brings up. For I know that ye seek Jesus. By the way, that's the Son of God, which was crucified. That's the first element in the gospel. He is not here. That's talking about his burial. For he is risen. That's talking about his resurrection. As he said. He said he promised it and he did it. Then he says this. Come see the place where the Lord lay. He says, I know you seek Christ, which was crucified. He's not here. He's risen. Come see. The gospel is the death, burial, and resurrection of Jesus Christ. Can I take a minute this morning to just share with you the gospel? Amen. Would that be all right? 1 Corinthians 15, verse number 1. Moreover, brethren, I declare unto you the gospel which I preached unto you, which also ye have received, and wherein ye stand, by which also ye are saved, if ye keep in memory what I preached unto you, unless ye have believed in vain. For I delivered unto you first of all that which I also received, how that Christ died for our sins according to the Scriptures, and that He was buried, and that He arose again the third day according to the Scriptures, and that he was seen of Cephas, then of the 12. After that he was seen of above 500 brethren at once, of whom the greater part remain unto this present, but some are fallen asleep. After that he was seen of James, then of all the apostles. And last of all, Paul wrote this, he was seen of me also, as of one born out of due time. Now this angel came down and he said, let me settle your fears, and then let me share with you the gospel story. Jesus Christ had to die. See, the disciples were told this many times, but they didn't want to accept it. They were hoping that when Jesus came, he was just, Brother Ward, he was just going to set up the kingdom, you know. He was just going to set things right there. But they weren't looking at it from a spiritual standpoint. Jesus came the first time to die. When he comes again, folks, comes to the earth again, he's going to set up his kingdom. There'll be a day when he rules and reigns over this earth. But the first time he came to buy us back, to pay for our sins. And you know what the gospel does? The gospel opens heaven's door. It gives every single person in here the opportunity to be saved. What is the plan of salvation? What is the great salvation gospel story? Well, it rests in the fact that we're all sinners.
And because we're all sinners, you know what? There's a penalty that's connected with that. The wages of sin is death. But the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. So we're all sinners, and because of our sin, we deserve to die. And we're not talking about just a physical death. The book of Revelation several times talks about what it calls the second death when it talks about hell and the lake of fire. Listen, folks, because we are sinners, not only do we physically have to die, but if we do nothing about our sin, the penalty of sin is foreverness. Foreverness in a lake of fire. Foreverness in hell. And so if God would have just taken his hands off that situation and refused to show mercy and grace, every single one of us would have been born into sin and died in our sins and ended up in hell. That's what we all deserve. But thank God, God came up with a plan. And Jesus and God discussed it, and God said, I need a perfect sacrifice. I need somebody that can go down who's not a sinner and die for the sins of mankind. And Jesus, folks, stood up. And he volunteered, and you know what? God placed him into a virgin's womb, and he was born in a manger. And he lived a perfect life. And when he died on the cross, he wasn't dying for his sins. He was dying for the sins of all of mankind. He was dying for my sins that day. Did you get that? Stephanie, he was dying for your sins that day. Dad Whittington, he died for your sins that day. And by the way, every single person can say, you know what? He paid for my sins that day. He paid for my sins that day. Now, listen, he died for our sins. That's good. He paid for it. But you know what? He needed to become the first fruits of the resurrection. I believe this. I say it often. I think the death and the shed blood of Jesus Christ paid for our sins. But I believe the resurrection provided us the hope of eternal life. And so that is the gospel story. It's not just the death. It's the death, burial, and resurrection of the Lord Jesus Christ. So the angel came and said, listen, I want to remind you of something. Jesus keeps his promises. And he promised that he would die, and he did. He promised that he would be buried, and he was. He promised he would rise again. And by the way, come look, come look. I think that's neat that the Easter angel invited them in to see for themselves. He said, listen, you don't have to take my word for it. That's why I rolled the stone away. Come on in, take a look. And folks, many of the disciples came to that tomb that day and looked in. And you know what? They did not find a dead Savior. They found a vacant tomb. They saw the grave clothes and the napkin folded neatly there. Up from the grave he rose. Up from the grave he rose. I want you to be reminded of this today, Christians. Maybe this will be an encouragement to you. God always keeps his promises. I like that little phrase where it says, fear not, for I know that you seek Jesus, which is crucified. He is not here, for he is risen, as he said. He reminded them that day, Jesus keeps his promises. Did he promise to save you? If you call upon him, then I guarantee you this, he kept his promise if you did that. Does he promise to adopt us? But as many as received him, to them gave he power to become the sons of God. Then he did it when you received him. Did he promise to meet your needs? Sure he did. Did he promise to walk by your side? Sure he did. Did he promise to never forsake his own? Sure he did. Did he promise to provide our daily bread? Sure he did. Did he promise us that there's a place called heaven? Sure he did. He said to his disciples as they walked towards Gethsemane, he said this, let not your heart be troubled. You believe in God, believe also in me. In my Father's house are many mansions. If it were not so, I would have told you. I go to prepare a place for you. And if I go to prepare a place for you, I will come again and receive you unto myself, that where I am, there ye may be also. You know what those are? Those are promises. Those are promises. And you know what? Jesus Christ always keeps his promises. So the Easter angel delivered a message of comfort, and then he delivered the message of the gospel. But I like this next part. The Easter angel delivered a command to tell. Now look what he says next here. He says in verse number 7, after he invites them to see the place where the Lord lay, he says, and go quickly and tell his disciples that he is risen from the dead. The good news of the gospel was designed to be told. Was designed to be told. I mean, folks, this is pretty fantastic. This is pretty amazing. Have you ever seen something just really, really unusual? And the next person that you saw, you wanted to say, hey, come here a minute. I got to tell you this. You're not going to believe what I just saw. I was out hunting in the woods here last fall, and I got into my tree stand. And I'm going to tell you what I saw, and I'm not going to tell you where it is because it's a good hunting place, and I don't want everybody in Greene County over there. But I was in my deer stand, and I was settled in, and I got there kind of early. It was in the middle of the afternoon, and I was going to hunt till dark. I got my bow, I got my arrow, took my climbing stand, climbed up. I don't remember who I was trespassing on, but I was somewhere. And I climbed up in the tree. And I'm sitting in this tree, and I never hunt this area before, not that particular place at least. And all of a sudden, I heard something that sounded like water splattering. All of a sudden, just like, whoosh, whoosh. And I look around, and I think, what was that? Then a few minutes later, hear it again. Water, just like someone throwing a bucket of water and just hitting the ground. So I'm looking around, thinking, what is that? And about the time I think, well, I'm just hearing stuff, it happened again. Finally, I figured out the direction that it was happening from, and I just kept staring over there. About 60 yards from me, all of a sudden, as I'm watching, right up out of the ground shoots a stream of water. Any of you ever been to Yellowstone National Park and seen Old Faithful? I found Sullivan County's Old Faithful. All of a sudden, out of a hole in the ground, alongside, I noticed the whole area in this little area was wet. But I didn't figure out why. All of a sudden, I am looking over there, and up out of the ground shoots up about 9-10 feet in the air, just this burst of water, and then it comes whoosh down, and it's gone. Now, folks, I know you're thinking I'm maybe hallucinating or something here, but that's what I thought. I thought, that's amazing. I said, I'm going to call Channel 2. And then I said, no, they'll all be in here with cameras. They'll mess my deer hunting up. I mean, you know, they'll turn this into a theme park. People will have to pay money to come in here and see this thing. And so I stood there, or sat there, and watched that. And about every, 15, 20 seconds, sometimes it'd be a little bit long, more, another burst of water would come out. Sometimes it'd only come out about that high. Sometimes it would come up where it would hit that roof there. This went on for the next 3 or 4 hours until dark. I climbed down. I left there. And I couldn't wait to get to my truck where I had some cell phone reception. The first thing I did was get on the phone and start calling people and say, you're not going to believe what happened. You're not going to believe what I just saw. And you know what? When they saw that day, it was pretty much a little bit more spectacular than my little miniature Old Faithful. And they wanted to see. They wanted to tell. And you know, here's the command. The gospel is meant to be carried and told. It's not a secret. It's not supposed to be a secret. One man once said this, you know, those of us that have heard the gospel and received the gospel, and because of the gospel we've received the cure for sin, we've avoided an eternity in hell. Sometimes the old evangelist would liken that to someone who discovered the cure for cancer and discovered that cure and maybe even applied that cure to their own life and was healed of this horrible disease. But even though they knew the cure for cancer and had been healed by it themselves, they would take that and hide it in a box somewhere and say, I'm going to keep this for myself. I'm not going to share this with anybody. You know, if we knew about that, as many families that have been touched by someone in their life that they love that had to suffer from cancer, I mean, we'd storm that place. We'd say, you know what, we need to bring charges against that man. Folks, we have something much more important than the cure for cancers. As horrible as cancer is, we've got something much more important. We have the gospel of Jesus Christ. And you notice the urgency here? The angel didn't say, now just kind of wander off and take your time. He said, go quickly, go quickly, go quickly and tell the disciples. There's an urgency in this command, in the instruction to go and tell. The Easter angel delivered the command to tell the gospel. And then let me give you the last thought. I love this. The last thing that the Easter angel delivered in his message, and I believe this message was given to him by the Father to give to these ladies. Last of all, the Easter angel delivered a promise for the future. The Easter angel said, ye shall see him. Lo, I have told you. Go quickly and tell the disciples he is risen from the dead. And behold, he goeth before you into Galilee. There shall ye see him. Lo, I have told you. So here's the message that the Easter angel was assigned to give to these women. He showed up and he said to them, listen, I've got some things I want to give you. First of all, I want to tell you, don't fear. And secondly, I want to remind you, this is the completion of the gospel. And by the way, you know it now, go tell it. And then he says, listen, you're going to run into him again. You're going to see him again. You say, preacher, I'm glad they got that promise. And by the way, if you read the rest of the story, they did see him. As they were going to tell, you know what? They heard a voice that hollered at him, and they turned around, and there was Jesus. And this story says those ladies went over, and they fell at his feet, and they grabbed a hold of his feet. Jesus said, now go do what the angel told you to do and tell the disciples. Tell them I'm going to see them in a little while too. Oh, preacher, I wish I could have been there that day. I wish I could have discovered that tomb. I wish I would have been part of that group of ladies. I wish I could have seen the Savior. That promise is for us also. The promise that Jesus will sometime, will in the future be seen by us. We have a similar promise. How about this in Acts chapter 1, verse 7? And he said unto them, it is not for you to know the times of the seasons which the Father hath put in his own power, but ye shall receive power after that the Holy Ghost has come upon you. Ye shall be witnesses unto me, both in Jerusalem and all Judea and Samaria and unto the uttermost part of the earth. And when he had spoken these things, while they beheld, he was taken up, and a cloud received him out of their sight. And while they looked steadfastly toward heaven as he went up, behold, two men stood by them in white apparel, which also said, ye men of Galilee, listen, why stand ye gazing up into heaven? This same Jesus which is taken up from you into heaven shall so come in like manner as ye have seen him go into heaven. He's talking about the rapture. How about this? 1 Thessalonians chapter 4 gives us more specific details. Preacher, will we see Jesus one day? Yeah, you're going to see him one of two ways. You'll see him when you open your eyes up in heaven after death, or you may see him when he calls from the clouds and receives us into the air. 1 Thessalonians chapter 4, for if we believe that Jesus died and rose again, even so them also which sleep in Jesus will God bring with him. For this we say unto you by the word of the Lord, that we which are alive and remain unto the coming of the Lord shall not prevent them which are asleep. For the Lord himself shall descend from heaven with a shout, with the voice of the archangel, with the trump of God. And the dead in Christ shall rise first. Then we which are alive and remain shall be caught up together with him in the clouds to meet the Lord in the air, and so shall we ever be with the Lord. Wherefore, comfort one another with these words. This angel sure had an important message to deliver. What an honor to be able to go to mankind with the message of fear not, the message of the gospel, the message, the command to tell, and also the promise that Jesus is one of these days going to be seen again. You say, preacher, I wish I could have some kind of an honor and privilege like that. Well, your preacher just had that honor this morning. I got to come to you with the same message. Fear not. The gospel's real. Jesus died for your sins, was buried, and rose again. Christians, if you've already believed that, go tell somebody. And by the way, while you're telling somebody, remember this. Keep your eye towards heaven, because sooner or later we're going to see him again. So we all, in a sense, can be like that Easter angel. We can carry these same truths to everybody that needs to hear them. This is the second time this morning that I've read this portion of Scripture out loud. And this is the second time this morning that I've shared these truths. I drove up early this morning and snuck into the hospital when it was still dark and got to sit beside my dad's bedside. And I said, Dad, it's Easter Sunday. It's going to be a busy day. I was afraid if I didn't come see you this morning, I might not get to see you. And I picked up a Bible and I got to read the Easter story to him. And I said, Dad, can you imagine all of the years that God lets you come behind a pulpit, over 40 years, you stood on an Easter Sunday somewhere and told about the resurrection. He shook his head and he said, amen. He said, what chapter did you read? I guess he was making sure I really got this out of the Bible. I don't know. I said, Matthew 28. He said, read it again. And I read it again to him. And I said, I'm going to preach out of this, Dad. You know what I'm going to tell him? He said, what? I'm going to tell him what the angel said, that we don't have to be afraid. He looked at me and he nodded his head. Amen. I'm going to tell him the gospel, Dad. Isn't that what you told me that I needed to preach? Just preach the gospel. And he said, yeah, I'm going to tell him the gospel. Dad, would you pray that if somebody's there that's not saved, that they get saved? He said, I pray that. I'll pray that. I said, Dad, then I'm going to tell the Christians like we always do. I'm going to get on them one more time. Tell them, go tell somebody. Go tell somebody. And then I'm going to remind them one of these days we're all going to get a chance to see Jesus again. And we held hands and prayed. And he's like most preachers on a Sunday morning. He said, you look nice. I said, yeah. And he said, it is Sunday? I said, it's Sunday. He says, is it in the morning? I said, yes, sir. He said, you need to get out of here. Like, it's Sunday morning, son. What are you doing here? You got your suit on, you got your Bible. You're not supposed to be in the hospital. Go do what you're supposed to do. And so I leaned over and kissed him and prayed with him, and I came here. And now I get to bring this message to you. Hey, I don't know what's going on in your life, but there's no reason to be afraid. There's not a reason in the world for a Christian to have a moment's fear. God's not given us the spirit of fear, but of power and love and of a sound mind. You know why we don't have to fear? Because there's an empty tomb. You know why we have a gospel to tell? Because there's an empty tomb. You know why we ought to go quickly and let folks know? Because Jesus is coming back soon and we're all going to see Him one of these days. Folks, the tribulation period could start in just the next second with the blowing of a trumpet and the disappearing of Christians. Who knows? Who knows if this is not the last public service where the gospel will be preached before Jesus Christ comes again. Now, let me just give you some wonderful and sage and sane advice. If you're here today and you're not saved, and the Holy Spirit of God is working on your heart, and you're under conviction, you've never made that decision to believe and receive the gospel of Jesus Christ, I am begging you this morning to get saved. I mean that. I wouldn't put it off for one second. I'm so glad that there was a time that I walked into a church as a lost person, and a preacher was bold enough to preach the gospel and bold enough to point at me and say, if you need to be saved, then get saved today. Now, I'm so glad I listened to God that day. I can lay my head on my pillow every night, not have to worry about whether I'll go to heaven or hell. Not because Jerry Ross deserves to go to heaven. That's surely not true. But because of what Jesus did. He died on the cross for my sins. He was buried. He rose again. He said, put your faith and trust in me. Receive me as your Savior. Except a man be born again, you cannot enter the kingdom of heaven. Let's bow our heads, close our eyes. That's the message. That's the message of the Easter angel. Heavenly Father, bless, Lord, and help us this morning, dear God. Thank you for the gospel. Thank you for the power of the gospel. Thank you for the privilege to preach the gospel. Lord, it's wonderful to be able to say, let's go to Matthew chapter 28. Maybe we'll never have the money to fly to Israel and go and look in what they say is the empty tomb, if it is. But we can go to Matthew chapter 28. We can go to Mark and Luke and John. And we can see through the pages of Scripture that there is an empty tomb. Lord Jesus, thank you for being the Son of God, for loving us. Thank you, God, for sending your Son, for God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in Him should not perish, but have everlasting life. Pray, Lord, I pray for that one that may be here, or maybe that many someones that may be here unsaved. I know what it is to walk into a church lost, unsaved. I know what it is to hear the gospel come under conviction. I know what it is to wrestle with a decision. Lord, I'm so thankful for the day that I stepped out into an aisle and walked to the front, shook the preacher's hand and said, I need to be saved. Thank you for the tender way that He opened the Scriptures and showed me the truth of salvation. Thank you, Lord, that I could cling on to the promise that if thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus and believe in thine heart that God hath raised Him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. For whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. I thank you, Lord, for allowing me to live to be saved. And Lord, for the peace and joy that's come into my heart since that decision. I pray for that one or many, whether it's in this service or in the children's services, that right now, Lord, that you're dealing with concerning salvation, I pray that they'd be saved. With our heads bowed and our eyes closed, let me just say this. If you're here without Jesus as your Savior, there's no greater Sunday to be saved, I think, than Easter Sunday. What an opportunity. What a day to walk an aisle and say, I need to be saved. Preacher, you know what? I can point back to this, that, the other, but the honest truth is I can't really find a place in my life, on the timeline of my life, where I have peace, where I can point to and say, I know that 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 I was saved right there. Now, folks, listen, if you want to take a chance on something, take a chance on whatever, but don't take a chance on eternity. If you're not sure that you're saved, we have men and women in our church that are skilled, trained to take the Bible and show you in just a few minutes the simple gospel and what is required of a man. or a woman to be saved. And so I would invite you to make that decision this morning. Heavenly Father, bless our invitation, Lord. I pray that you would speak to hearts. Lord, give us as Christians this good admonition. The message of the Easter angel wasn't just for the lost. Much of it was to encourage and exhort the saints. So I pray that you'd work in all of our hearts. We pray.